How is it that you and I can truly make a difference in this world with the one and only life that God's given us? In his book, The Winner's Edge, Dennis Waitley writes, "Real leaders in business, in the professional community, in education, and in government all seem to draw upon a special cutting edge. And it separates them from the rest of culture and society. The cutting edge," Waitley writes, paraphrasing Calvin Coolidge, "is this. It's not a gift at birth, a high IQ, or great talent. Talent is cheap. You can buy it and recruit it, and it's everywhere. The winner's edge is not education either. Education is not cheap, but it is for sale if you have the money and the time. You can get your MBA, your PhD, cover your walls with all kinds of diplomas, but the world is full of educated derelicts." His conclusion, the winner's edge is more important than facts, more important than the past, than education, than money, than circumstances, than failure, than success, than what other people say or do. He adds, "A remarkable thing is we have a choice every single day regarding the attitude we will embrace. We cannot change the past. We cannot change the fact of what people will do. The only thing we can play is the one string that we have, the winner's edge, our attitude." Our attitude. Attitude has the power to change everything. Can't always change your circumstances. There are a lot of things in the world we simply can't change. You may not be able to change your boss, your spouse, your kids, your background, things that have happened to you or will happen to you, but you can change what goes on in here and what goes on in here, and it deals with our attitude. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10. Read this with me. Whatever and that's the attitude. It's an attitude that involves giving yourself diligently to the task at hand. It involves qualities like determination, passion, being highly intentional. But the truth is, many people don't live this way. It's what we might call the road less traveled. The opposite attitude is to kind of just drift along the path of least resistance. You never really go beyond the daily minimum requirements. You avoid challenges, avoid being stretched, having to grow. Your goal in life is to just coast and get by. Each of us must choose every single day when we get out of bed whether we're going to take the road less traveled or the path of least resistance. Turn to the person next to you and say, which road are you on? Which road are you on? Path of road less traveled, path of least resistance. Now, I want to give you three words today, and Zach mentioned them, that I believe have the power to change our lives and enable us to make a difference in this world. The three words are, and then some. Say it with me. That means to be what's expected of, do what's expected of you, what's required of you, and then some. To be an and then some person that says, whatever my hands find for me to do, I'm going to do it with all my might, with all my strength. And explain this, I want to look at an and then some kind of person from the Old Testament, from the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 24. As it starts, Abraham, who some of you will remember is known as the father of Israel. He began the nation of Israel, and he's at a point now that he's an old man. His wife has died, and it's time for his son Isaac to be married. Now, this is a big deal because the whole future of Israel rides on this marriage. So Abraham has to find Isaac a great wife. How's he going to do that? Remember back in those times, there were no computer dating services. There were no ads like this one.
City folks just don't get it.
Right? There was no computer dating services, no ads on TV like farmersonly.com. Couldn't put an ad on Facebook and Instagram back there, back then. Couldn't take out an ad that would say such as, attractive nomad with excellent prospects searching for female who likes to travel. Right? There was nothing like that they could do. But there was a custom back then, and the custom was that the parent would arrange the marriage for the child. They would search the countryside to find a good candidate. They would bring them home and say, okay, this is who you're going to marry. This is who's going to be your wife, your husband, for the rest of your life. How many parents think that'd be great to instill today? Right? This is the one. Yeah. Well, this is what Abraham did. He was old, not far from death. He called his most trusted servant, most likely a man named Eliezer, and explained to him. He said, my time is almost done. I'm soon going to die, and my son, the future of Israel, needs a wife. She needs to be a person of flawless character. She needs to be someone who will be faithful to God. She needs to be someone who can be one with Isaac. And so Abraham sets his servant apart and says, you've got to find this wife. It's an important assignment. Don't blow it. Then he adds, I want you to go back to my homeland. I don't want you to find his wife here among these people. You go back to my homeland and you find the right woman for my son Isaac. So here's what happens. Eliezer accepts the commission, assembles a caravan. He gets 10 camels and loads them down with gifts because he knows wherever he finds this woman, he's going to have to give gifts to her family to explain why he can take her away and help ease the pain. So he goes to the town of Nahor, camels loaded down with gifts outside of town, and he's standing beside a well, and he kneels down and begins to pray. He prays, God, grant me success on this mission. He says, God, I need a sign from you that you're in this thing. So here's what I ask. The young women come to this well, but when I say to one of them, would you get me some water? Let the woman say, I will get a drink for you and water for your camels as well. That'll be a sign that she is the one. So he waits, and among the women coming and going is a young woman by the name of Rebecca. Remember? The Bible says she was a woman of pure character, and she was very fair to look upon. In Hebrew, that phrase means she was a righteous babe. All right? Loose translation. But Rebecca comes, lowers down her jar into the well, gives Eliezer a drink, and then she says, and I will draw water until all your camels have had enough to drink too. This is crazy. How many of you have ever seen a camel up close? Anybody ever ridden a camel? So you're a camel? Remember, you have any idea how much one thirsty camel can drink? A lot. Remember the caravan? How many camels were in the caravan? 10. Oh, Blake, 10. One thirsty camel can drink 30 gallons of water. Do the math. Yeah, here's a woman saying, I'll give you a drink, but I will also, sir, pull up 300 gallons of water for your camels, too. This is a woman with some serious biceps, right? Crazy. Here's the point. Rebecca did everything that was reasonably expected of her, and then some, and then some. And it's the and then some that changed history. It's the and then some as she marries Isaac and begins this great adventure with God. She becomes then the ancestor of the people of Israel, and her name is remembered and celebrated to this day. Whatever your hand finds for you to do, do it with all your might. Now, I want you to imagine what would happen in your life, your work, your marriage, with your kids, with your parents, your physical health, the condition of your soul, or what God could do through Northside if we all became and then some kind of people, if that was our attitude. Tomorrow, you go to work, wherever that may be, office, home, even if you have a cranky boss, work under miserable circumstances. You do routine tasks. Maybe you feel unappreciated. What would happen if you made up your mind and you said, I'm going to water camels too? I'm going to water camels too. I'm going to do what's reasonably expected of me and then some. I believe it has the power to change us. Jesus talked about living with this kind of attitude in the greatest message ever preached in Matthew 5:41. He simply said, if someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. You look at them at the end of 1 mile and say, hey, for the fun of it, let's just go 2. Let's just go 2. Do everything the law requires of you, everything that's reasonably expected of you, and then some. Because it's in then some kind of people who really live. It's in then some kind of people who make a difference with the one and only life that God's given them. Jesus says, my people are in then some kind of people. He added, give and it will be given to you. For the measure you use, it will be measured to you. In other words, when you give more than is required of you, you will receive more than you expect. When you try to just get by, you'll just get by. When you give and then some, you will receive and then some. It simply involves this discovery that the secret to abundant living is creative, freely chosen servanthood. The question is, how can I delight and astound the people that I'm serving? How can I delight and astound the people that I serve? Now, with the time we got left, I want to be really practical. Hopefully, you got an outline. I want to give you some areas for you to assess where you are in this, and then some kind of living. Here we go. First area is in your work. Whether it's in an office, at home, at school, the task we do in everyday life, a study revealed the secret to a long life said the primary predictor of the longevity of your life is the extent to which you enjoy your work. I mean, man, I might die any minute, right? Rate yourself 1 to 10. 1 to 10, there's a line there on your outline. Put a little X where you are. Let me help you. 10 would be, whatever my hand finds for me to do, I do with all my might. I focus, I concentrate, I seek to be challenged, to grow, to serve. On the other hand, 1 would be, honestly, I find myself just doing enough to get by. In fact, one of my favorite sayings is, that's not my job. That's not my job. Now ask, what's one thing you could do tomorrow to be an end on some kind of person in your workplace? Paul made an important statement to those at the bottom of the ladder. He said, work wholeheartedly as unto the Lord. Work wholeheartedly as unto the Lord. That means you are serving people, helping people. And that's the most important thing to God. You may even put a sign on your desk that says, I'm working for God today. Because you are, no matter where you are. Next area, your relationships. Reflect for a moment on your family, your friends. Ask yourself, would the people in my life, in my relationship world, would they say that I am an and then some kind of person? Would they say that of me? Again, rate yourself 1 to 10. 10 would be, I'm an all-out servant with the right attitude. In my relationships, I have deep channels of communication and love. I express my affection, especially to those people closest to me. I confront people with love when necessary. 1 would be, truth is, at home or my relational world, again, I just try to get by. I take the path of least resistance. I avoid confrontation. I rarely express myself. My idea of servanthood is occasionally handing over the remote control. All right? That's a 1. How are you doing with your family? Do you go the extra mile? Are you and then some kind of person with them? Are you building relationships and then some? Are you building a marriage and then some? Or are you just getting by? 1 more zone, your relationship with God. Are you an and then some kind of person when it comes to your relationship with God? Rate yourself 1 to 10. 10 would be you're someone that says, I diligently am seeking to get to know God better. My life is all about building my relationship with Jesus, serving him, giving him everything I've got. I read his word. I talk to people about him. I talk to him as often as I can. I'm real serious about the fact that God created me and I owe him my life. 10. 1. Other side, again, spiritually, I'm just trying to get by. I don't think about God very much. I really don't think about my purpose that God has for me on this earth. I'm not involved in his church. If anything, I just look for the minimum requirements and I check off on those, hoping I'll sneak into heaven. Last assessment, where are you? What's one step that you could take to be and then some kind of person in your relationship with God? When's the last time you sat and fully opened up your heart to God? Maybe you never have. Maybe you've never fully expressed your love for him, your appreciation for him with what he's done for you. Maybe the next step for you, maybe write a letter, type out an email to God just to express your thanks for the fact that he offered you grace and forgiveness in your life. Maybe it's time for you to step up and get fully, fully involved and engaged in the Church of Jesus Christ. I don't know what that looks like for you, but we give you many, many opportunities to get out of those seats and serve, and then some. Something coming up, August 4th. I may have heard about it, worship at the fair. Whew. Heard that? August 4th, 10:30, we will not meet here. We will be worshiping in the center of the fairgrounds at the stage in the middle of the fairgrounds. Everybody know where that is? All right. There are cards out there for you to pick up to invite people to say, whether you're a Giant Eagle, Target, wherever you go, hand it to someone and say, hey, love to see you at the fair to worship with us on August 4th. Or better yet, take a day, walk around the fair, I'll get you. You want 500 of these, I'll get you 500 of them. To walk around the fair on Saturday before that Sunday and say, hey, worship tomorrow, worship tomorrow, worship tomorrow, and just pass them out to people. Those of you that are in the barns all week, Rob, Anna, those of you that know the barn life at the fair, hand these around those barns. Invite people to be there to be a part of that special day. This coming Saturday, we got a big one. Anybody know what's coming up Saturday? Yeah, Homeroom Hope. We have 200 kids signed up to be here, to come, to get backpacks, to get haircuts, all kinds of things that we're doing. If you've not yet just signed up to volunteer for that, you can still do that today. Or I say, just show up and we'll give you something to do. All right? Big thank you to Chris. She has got all the school supplies together. There's a packing night this Tuesday, I think, that's happening. But give her a hand for all the work that she has done. If you are volunteered to sign to help with Homeroom Hope, you're to be here at 7:30 on Saturday. If you're in the parking team, you're to be here at 7, parking team. Also, something is coming. We're just like crazy ways for you to serve. This coming Tuesday is what? Food pantry night. Food pantry night, and it happens the first Tuesday? No. Fourth Tuesday of each month. And I'm going to ask Lynn and Anna to come up and talk about that and ways that you can get involved in it.
I'm Lynn Moore, and I took over the food pantry a couple months ago. Jean got us off to a wonderful start, and our pantry's continuing to grow, and we want to invite participation from our church family in any way that you can help us out, and we're going to give you some ideas on how to help us out.
So I do the check-in for the pantry. When we first started, I think maybe the first 2 or 3 months, we kind of wobbled between like 5 and 7 people coming to the pantry. But over the last several months, each month, it gets bigger. There's more. There's more coming. This last one, I counted 13 families that we served. So yeah, we're definitely in the future going to need some more volunteers, some more help, because every week it gets bigger and it gets bigger. So
our mission for the food pantry is, of course, to provide food and home essentials to people in our community. It's also a wonderful opportunity to talk to people, pray with people. We tell them all about our church and, of course, lead them to Jesus. So we tried to think of some ways to make our pantry and then some pantry, not just an average pantry. So we came up with the idea to make meal bags up. So we have a bunch of recipes, and we put all the food in a bag for one meal, and we've been giving out 2. We started off making 5, and then my friend Sue said, prepare for more people. Assume that more people are coming. So we made 10. And guess what? Now we make 15. And those bags are gone. I mean, the women just love that. And the other thing that we've done is Sue has a Bible study on that night. So we can invite the women right then. The Bible study is going on during the food pantry. So we can invite people to come to the food, to the Bible study. So the ways that you could participate, if you have a small group that would be willing to make our bags for us 1 month, that would be wonderful. We give you the recipe, and you can just provide the bags. Or in our month at a glance, you'll see items in there, and they're going to fill our food, our bags. So take a look at that. And then home essentials, we can't get any of those from the food pantry or from the food bank. So we rely on your contributions for that. So lots of ways to help. Even if you're a woman, just join us for the Bible study, because it's nice for the ladies in the community that are here to see this participation from our church family.
And invite your friends, like if you have other women that you know, invite them to come to the Bible study too, because the more people we have here, then by word of mouth, it's going around Medina. Like, we've asked people, where did you hear about us? It's on Facebook. It's through their neighbors. Wasn't it in one of those things, too? What was that called that it was in? It was in one of those things. They did see about our food pantry. So we're definitely going to have to start making more, you know, meal bags, because every month there's more coming, and it's just going to keep growing from here.
Again, these guys have done amazing work and take sacrifice to do that. Definitely, and then some kind of attitude and service. Give them a hand. Thank you guys for doing that, especially Lynn. One more zone. This past week, a lot of our young people were at camp, at Round Lake Christian Camp. Brady was there, and I'm going to let Brady speak to what happened.
Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
So this past week, 130 campers, over 60 volunteers, that is 200 people that spent a week at a camp just truly dedicating themselves to growing closer to God, which is just absolutely amazing. And I could stand up here and talk for hours and hours and hours of all the stories and all the fun stuff and just all the excitement that I have from camp. But with that being said, there is also the burdens of camp, the emotional, the physical burdens. And one of the things that we do at camp is we take them through a whole gospel presentation throughout the entire week. And on Tuesday, we call it Sin Night, because it's impossible to do a gospel presentation without understanding the burden of sin. And so how we did this is we had four different colors of rock. We had green, the envy rock. And so if kids felt like they struggle with the sin of envy, they would grab that rock. There was the red rebellion rock, if they felt like they just rebelled against their parents, if they rebelled against authority, if they rebelled against God, they grabbed that red rock. If they felt like they struggled with addiction, whether that is drugs, alcohol, whether that's social media, whether it's gossip, they would grab that blue rock. And finally, if they struggled with sin, they would grab that yellow rock. And not just the campers did this, every volunteer did this. So I went and I grabbed the biggest yellow rock I could find. And what we did is you had to hold this rock, not for just a couple minutes, a couple hours, for an entire day. You had to hold this rock and understand the burden, the weight of the sin that these kids and these adults carry. We all carry it. And they were not allowed to let it go until the next day, where we had this tub of water at the foot of the cross. And one by one, every kid and every adult took their rock that they'd been holding and displaying. In fact, one day I was playing volleyball and the rock was in my pocket and it came up and it hit me in the stomach. And I think sin does that to us sometimes. And one by one, they put that rock into the bin at the foot of the cross. And that message is so, so powerful, and it led to 15 baptisms on Friday at the end of the week, which is absolutely incredible and something that only God is capable of doing, working through people. And many of those people that were baptized are here today, so I would like to invite them to come to the front. Dylan, Alyssa, Vincent, Pete, Reagan, Aiden is probably back there, Connor. If you guys could all come to the front, I would love to pray for you all. And before we do that, I would like to remind you all of the parable of the sower. You can face front, that's fine. let the people look at you. Sometimes we place our seed in the rocky soil and it comes up and gets eaten up. Sometimes our seed goes into the shallow soil and we get really excited and it springs up, but it withers away. Sometimes our seed is in the thorns and the distractions and it chokes us. But our God is an and then some God. And when we place our seed in the good soil, he doesn't just promise that that crop is going to spring up. He promises and then some that it's going to yield 30, 60, 100 yield of that crop. And I invite you all to do the same. Let's pray. God, I just thank you so much for the work that you do in our lives. I thank you so much for reminding us that the burden of our sin, we don't have to carry it. It's heavy and it's ugly, and we can just leave it at the foot of the cross, God, because you've already defeated it. I pray that all those that were baptized and all those that were there and attended camp remember that when we pick up that rock again, that we can always, always, always put it right back at the foot of the cross and put ourselves back in the good soil where you will continue to nurture us and yield crops 30, 60, 100-fold. Amen.
That's awesome. Brent and I went down on Friday and watched some of the baptisms happen there at the lake. Vincent was a little special. He wanted to do it the night before. Well, both of you guys, the night before at midnight, I guess. I don't know if I would have come if you would have called, I guess. But that is just, that's phenomenal. That's just awesome. There's a reason this whole and then some kind of life hits us hard when we really, really begin to think about it. That's because you and I were made in the image of God. And God is an and then some kind of God. Jesus came to earth and then some. Jesus died for your sins and then some. Jesus rose from the grave and then some. Jesus sits at the right hand of God, and there is an and then some day coming that's going to blow this world away. Think about all he did, and he did it just for you. Jesus says, I have come that you may have life and have it to the full and then some. But it's up to you and I to decide if we take the path of least resistance or we take and we travel the road less traveled. My prayer is that whatever your hand finds for you to do, you will do it with all your might, with all your strength, and then some. Pete and Reagan, come up here a second, would you? Pete, Ray, come up here. It was a couple weeks before camp that these guys shared with me that they were going to get baptized, immersed at camp. And it really blew me away. Because I think their situation is where a lot of people in this world rest. Their words were a couple, two or three times to me, that when they got married, they were sprinkled. But ever since then, they've had in their hearts that they wanted to follow Scripture and be fully immersed. 8 years waiting to make that happen. And I call that and then some kind of obedience. That you finally get to the point that say, well, maybe I haven't fully followed everything that God wants me to do. I honor God with what I've done, but I want to honor God and worship him even more, and then some. And so I'm awesome for these guys to do that. And maybe that's where you are. I don't know. But I just felt the Spirit telling me to share where their hearts were and what they did this past week at the lake. I'm going to pray, and we're going to close with a song. Father, we thank you so much for your presence in our life. God, the way that you move in an and then some kind of way every single moment of every day. God, allow us to follow in turn, to be and then some kind of children of yours, whatever that looks like in our hearts, in our world. God, may we do it with all of our might as we serve and honor and worship you. We pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen.